Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy and faithfulness.
Friends, this is Ryan Bonfilio with the Ministry Collaborative, and I'm excited to have a series of conversations about our various immersion experiences, how they work, and what they're meant to do for the pastors that we collaborate with. Today, I'm here with my friends and colleagues, Carla Jones Brown, Gareth Higgins, and Brian Ammons, all of whom are at the ground level of thinking about our Northern Ireland immersion experience, which we're really excited about. So all of you, thank you for being with us.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Great to see you.
All right, Brian and Gareth, let me begin with you. And I wondered if you might just say a quick word about how you're connected to the Northern Ireland immersion experience.
Well, I was born very near Belfast and spent the first nearly three quarters of my life living there. And I grew up in the context of faith-based peace building. I've lived in the US for about the last 15 years. And I am partnered to Brian, who is the bridge to connection with the Ministry Collaborative.
We split our time now between Northern Ireland and Western North Carolina. And for me, the work that I have witnessed through my marriage with Gareth and relationships with folks that have become really important to me over there feels so important for my colleagues and friends here. I was part of a ministry collaborative cohort. That's how we ended up in this conversation. And it just has felt like a really rich connection with what we're about in our work now and the ways that we want to continue to connect and support other faith leaders here in the States.
Brian and Gareth, I want you just to talk us through the design of the trip. What is it like for these cohorts to go to Northern Ireland, to be with you, and to experience these 8 days in country?
Well, folks have a perception of Ireland that may or may not align with reality. That's one thing. And the second thing is that most people from the US who have been to Ireland have not been to the north of Ireland. They usually go to Dublin or they visit the rest of the Republic of Ireland. So from the start, it's a new experience for almost everybody who comes. The pragmatics are simple. We do half of the retreat at rural cottages, some of which are 400 years old and have been restored, not renovated, not refurbished, but restored, some of them with thatched roofs and so on, in the Mourne Mountain region, which is about between an hour and 90 minutes south of Belfast. And that's kind of what people typically think of when they think of as rural Ireland. And then the other half of the retreat takes place in a retreat center that is built around a country house that's smaller than Downton Abbey, but bigger than my house, about 20 minutes from Belfast. And it's, while it's still a kind of a beautiful place, it's by the sea and so on. That's a more urban part of the experience. That's the kind of practical logistics of where we are.
We have a few aims. One is some space for connection with the cohort and with colleagues to deepen connection that happens when you travel together. And we also believe very strongly that getting out of our day-to-day context gives us some space to reflect on our day-to-day context. So we present Northern Ireland, and particularly the peace process in Northern Ireland, as sort of a third thing that we might engage around and invite folks then to reflect on their own ministry contexts. Our story is, I'm from North Carolina. I'm a pastor, was a college chaplain for years. Gareth is a native of Northern Ireland. And we do these groups with other folks too, but I particularly love doing them with cohorts of pastors and ministers and faith leaders, because there is something I think really powerful about the kind of grassroots community building organizing story of Northern Ireland in a sustained process of conflict transformation. So our larger themes tend to focus on the stories we tell about ourselves, about our relationships, about our communities, about our larger political and even global environments, and then how the stories we tell shape what's possible. So that's kind of at the core of the way that we facilitate that space.
And I love this idea, Brian, that you give us, that part of the purpose of these immersion experiences is to get people out of the everyday context in which they're familiar with and sort of to dislocate them, to defamiliarize them with what's normal, so that maybe they can look back on their context, on what's familiar, with fresh eyes and to see things they've never seen before in a new way. And Carla, I'm guessing you were sort of our pioneer, being one of the facilitators for the amazing Philadelphia cohort. Your group went last summer as kind of a pioneering trip to Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. Tell us how that worked for you. How did being in this place effectively dislocate you in a way that was helpful and generative for your cohort?
Ryan, I think that the word that I would use is it helped to relocate us. Mm-hmm. We had just come from being on lockdown in the pandemic. And so it was nice to just get out of our own homes to go to the grocery store. And now here we are going out of the country. So to travel to a place that took us and our stories from everything that was familiar into this brand new place to be together physically for the first time in a very long time. Both of those elements made this trip absolutely magical for us. So the stories that we brought from Philadelphia kind of danced with the stories we heard in and around Northern Ireland. And so when I say magical, I mean absolutely magical. How could we have so much in common and be so different? And it gave us an opportunity to bring things back to our individual Philadelphia context. So it shaped how we came back to work in our individual spaces, but also it shaped us as a cohort.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. And you all were in the unique situation that because of COVID and other factors, you hadn't all been physically together. So this trip was really a way to not just join together in a journey, but be together physically, really, for one of the first times. I imagine that must have been a powerful part of what it meant to do this trip together.
It absolutely was. As we went from masking on the plane to learning, oh, wait, we trusted each other before. Oh, now I really have to trust you because I have to live with you. Oh, this is what this looks like. So kind of finding our own space and being in this safe space with colleagues who we had to remember that we loved and trusted. And what does that look like in the flesh? And I think that made us better pastors when we were back in flesh with the people who we were called to be with.
One of the things we talk about with all of our immersion experiences, no matter where they are, we want to provide opportunities for rest and spiritual rejuvenation. And that's hard because we bring our fatigue with us into these trips and because traveling itself is fatiguing sometimes. It's tiring to get on these long plane rides and be in different places. So what was the moment where rest and spiritual rejuvenation hit home in this trip? How did that happen? Where did that happen? And Brian and Gareth, for you, as you kind of reflect as trip organizers, how did you integrate that and knit that into the design of the experience?
So I can tell you, for us, it's we do these two different places. And when we can, we try to start out in the rural community because it's just a slower pace. And it's beautiful. There's a relationship to the land, to giving space. Our general rhythm of the day is we have a conversation, we take a walk, we meet some folks, and we have some downtime. So we work really hard to make sure that there's enough space to breathe. And particularly in this circumstance, with the group that Carla was a part of, it felt really important that there was lots of informal space. Because while they had known each other for a while, because of the context of being so much online, they just hadn't had much time for the casual interaction. Mm. And so we got to watch that build and kind of be a part of that ourselves. So we do excursions fairly regularly where we go out and meet folks, but then we try and make sure that there's good time to take long meals, to have time to laugh and play together, partly because you need that integration. Some of the places and some of the conversations that we have can be kind of intense, and people are reflecting on the intensity of their ministry experience. So we're really conscious of trying to find a balance of energies there. The moment, you asked about a specific moment. For me, it was one of the bus trips, hearing the conversations kind of come alive and the laughter and joking. And we have a really friendly bus driver and watching Adam interact with the bus driver. I mean, there was a lot that was happening that felt like, oh, right, the group is relaxing enough to kind of really drop in to being playful together. And that was kind of a beautiful moment for me. Mm-hmm. Carly, was there a particular moment for you?
There were many moments, but two in particular. One, if you are at all familiar with Philadelphia transportation, driving and parking, and if you're taking public transportation, is horrible. Being able to board a bus that was welcoming and everyone on the bus is kind to one another.
Are you saying SEPTA's not welcoming?
I just said that was a moment that was wonderful. Just to know that transportation is taken care of from the Philadelphia mindset, that's 20% of our day. Mm-hmm. So there's no fighting for parking. There's no jostling. There are no elbows on sidewalks. Wow, people actually nod and say hi to each other. This is great. So that was one piece of it. The other, and Brian, you know this, was our meals together. Mm-hmm. I love all things food. I was smitten with the gigantic cows and sheep that we saw as the bus took us to our destinations. But to be able to hang out in the kitchen and make that French press pot of coffee in the morning and to help with fixing the food, not because it's an obligation or because that's what it means to be servant leader, but because that's what gives me rest and joy. And so helping with presenting the food and remembering who doesn't eat what and who likes what, that was restful for me. So those were two of my big ones. But also in our last trip, when we circled up and we stood outside of that Catholic church, that was powerful for me because that seemed like it kind of brought our trip full circle as we stood there holding all that history, all those stories, all of who we are, and this pivotal moment of your life doesn't have to be the same when you leave this circle. Mm-hmm. You can go back just as changed as the people you've come to hear about. Mm-hmm. Those were my big, big moments. So thank you, Gareth, for kind of leading us through the city to that space to have that moment.
Thank you, Carla. I'll say this. There's always a moment on these retreats, and we've been doing them for nearly a decade now. I don't want to say exactly what it is, because part of how we facilitate these is we don't provide an itinerary in advance. There's an element of surprise and mystery that's honestly to do with the fact that so much of our lives are planned for us these days, sometimes down to the minute. And you even see this in movie trailers that seem to want to tell everybody the main points of the movie. There's no surprise. There's no mystery. And we want to help induce a sense of mystery and also a sense of letting go of the parts of your life that you don't need to pretend that you're in control of and that is just a distraction or trivia or overburdenedness. So I'm not going to tell you where this thing that I really like, but every single retreat, there's a point where we are in a very beautiful place looking at something in quiet. And even though I and Brian are leading the retreats, I always get to sit down at that point and just breathe while everybody else is looking at the thing. And there's a point in there, and there's also a point in the urban spaces where my relationship with my home, I grew up in the Greater Belfast area, and it's still the place where I live and work much of the time while spending the rest of the time in the US. My relationship with my home gets a little bit healed every time we do these retreats. And the meaning of the peace process and the process of conflict transformation in and about Northern Ireland gets deepened when we bring people over from elsewhere who have light bulb moments. And the light bulb moments aren't just for the participants in the retreat. They are for the guests that we bring to speak at the retreat, and they're for us because it's a reminder. You can lose track and lose sight of the gifts of your own place when you spend all your time there. And when your culture and your society has gone through the kind of trauma that the conflict in and about Northern Ireland has been, it's easy for people to not see the amazing things that have unfolded and also to not adequately respect their and our own pain. You know, we want to downplay our pain and we want to downplay progress. So there's a gift for me every time we do this.
That's a beautiful perspective, Gareth. And I kind of want to bounce that point to Carla and say, for you, or maybe for your cohort, what were some of those light bulb moments, especially as it relates to peace building and conflict transformation? What became clearer? What did you bring back with you that you didn't bring into the trip that will make a difference in how you serve in Philadelphia?
Thank you for that question. That is something that we talked about in our informal spaces, and it kind of disturbed us in a good way. We were thinking about, so what would it look like to map this over onto the US setting? What pieces would fit? What pieces would not fit? How do we take this back home and grapple with the gun violence issue in Philadelphia that is only being addressed with thoughts and prayers? Who would we have to bring to the table? So hearing individual people's stories, and one story that I think gave us good fodder for conversation came from a woman who talked about moving into a particular neighborhood and saying, I'm with you. I am not against you. What would that look like in Philadelphia? Which, as you may imagine, gave us occasion to laugh nervously because we're actually able to imagine that. But it gave us a chance to think about what would this look like if we were able to put this into place? Who would the players be, and how, what would our role be in bringing about this change? And I would say some of us have actually come back and begun planting little seeds, so we may see what that grows into.
Yeah, that's very cool. Brian and Gareth put so much energy and thought and wisdom into planning this incredible itinerary. And at the same time, it strikes me that sometimes the most memorable experiences are off script, right? They're not part of the itinerary. It's a meal, it's a joke, it's a moment of laughter. I wondered if y'all might share with us, what was that moment for you? The off script, beyond the itinerary moment that really brought joy and hope to your experience?
I've got two. They'll be quick. The first Carla already mentioned, which was about 2 days in, we had a couple folks that were with us that mostly were doing food prep and kind of behind the scenes logistics. And we had continued to say to Carla, let us just take care of you. And then realize what Carla needs is to be in here and hanging out in the kitchen. And so there was this space of going like, right, we've got room to be able to meet people with what it means for them to drop into their joyful spaces. So Carla's presence in the kitchen throughout was one of those. But the other, and the really deeply profound one for us, is, you know, we were just coming back online after 2 years of a break from COVID. I had gone through a vocational transition and had left college chaplaincy in order to do this work in a more full-time way. And this cohort on our last night did a blessing of our ministries. Mm-hmm. I was choked up that night. I'm getting choked up reflecting on it, of just the gift of colleagues who had become friends, who were there as guests, who returned this gift of really blessing the work that we're doing. And that was deeply profound for both of us.
Hmm. That's amazing. Carla, what would you add? What's your favorite moment?
Without giving away the mystery of it all, we had a day that had its own design at the beginning of the day. And as fate would have it, our evening shifted and there was an opportunity to participate in a music festival. Mm-hmm. It was not scheduled and it just happened to drop in at the right time. But it also gave us one more opportunity to hear stories and to hear song and to see diversity that we had not seen before. That was just phenomenal. That was a great, great night.
Y'all, the problem here is that you're all making me really want to go on this trip right now. So, Brian and Gareth, what are you doing next week?
We're going to Ireland next week.
Gareth, I want to give you the last word. We have cohorts here in the U.S. and other places that are discerning which of our immersion experiences are right from them. What is your invitation to those cohorts? Why Northern Ireland? Why does this trip make sense?
Well, there's 1,000 reasons, and obviously there's lots of beautiful places people can go, and you should go where your heart leads you to go. But I think, and I've noticed this increasingly the last few weeks, we just marked the 25th anniversary of the peace agreement in Northern Ireland. It's become really clear to me that the stability and the imagination that our peace agreement has allowed for should be known about by more people, particularly people who are dealing with political polarization and a sense of disempowerment or uncertainty. There are parallels. Nothing is a perfect match or perfect mirror, but there are parallels between the situation that we've lived through in the north of Ireland and some of the ways society and culture is manifesting in the US. And there are also parallels between people who would never call themselves heroic, but have behaved in heroic ways, taking the next right step, one step at a time, not really knowing where they were going, and they have stories to tell. And we want to facilitate connections between those people and the kind of people who connect with the Ministry Collaborative. On top of that, it's beautiful, it's fun, the food is great, and at the very least, you'll be helping heal my relationship with my home country. So if you feel sorry for me, come on one of our retreats. But if you yearn for yourself for a bit of rest, a bit of connection, a bit of poetry, and some regrounding around, there are things that are possible in the US that have not failed because they were tried, but they've just not been tried yet.
Amen. Gosh, Gareth, Brian, thank you for your wisdom and your energy and how you've shaped this trip from the ground up. And Carla, thank you for sharing your gifts and being on this pioneering trip to Northern Ireland. So grateful for each of you and your ministries.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network of pastors
and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.